iglesia. And so, our Father, as we bring our time of prayer to a close, we thank you for the privilege it is to pray to a God who hears. You are at once beyond us and at the same time close by. It is a statement to your greatness and to your graciousness to us. For all that we have prayed tonight, we look to you, we pray the will of the Lord would be done. It is our desire to trust in your will. We pray that you would help us where unbelief comes in and confirm in our minds once more that you are trustworthy. We ask this in the Lord's name. Amen. Well, as you're making your way on back to your seat, I think there were some handouts over there, and I'm pretty sure that student helper Mike will be happy to pass those out, right? So if you didn't get a handout on your way in, if you'd lift your hand, Michael passed those out, I'm sure. If you need a handout, lift your hand up there if you didn't get one. Anybody else need a handout? Everybody's good? All right, we're in Proverbs chapter 11 tonight, continuing in our study of the book of Proverbs together. And as we move through, we're arriving at chapter 11. Just wanted to remind you that it's good practice for you to read through the proverb of the day. So today is December 17th, and so we're reading Proverbs 17 for the day. And I hope that you are learning that, maybe developing that as a habit in your life of reading through the proverb of the day. We're in a section now in the Proverbs where you have contrasting statements. This is this, but this is that. Something is reality in this way, but this is the reality in the opposite direction. When you read beginning in chapter 10 and you read the next successive chapters, this is the constant pattern that Solomon is following in these wisdom sayings. You have these opposite statements. You are to look at these separate, usually separate proverbial statements. Most of the time, each verse is a standalone proverb. Most of the time. And when you're reading it, you're to see contrasting in there. There's something antithetical about that. That was the technical term that we used when we were learning how to unlock a proverb. One sentence is the opposite of the other. And in Proverbs 11:2, this opposite is made mention. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. Certainly throughout the Scriptures, pride and humility are synonymous with each other. Pride is always recognized as a wicked quality, a wicked characteristic held by a man, whether he be saved or unsaved. Righteousness is a quality that is always held in, humility is a quality that is always held in high regard. And they are always at odds with each other. Throughout the Scriptures we see that. And here once again in Proverbs. When you read through the book of Proverbs, certainly the theme of pride is a regular theme. Occurs many times. And so you'll see words which just stand out to you, like pride or proud. And 13 times those two are there. And then you have a number of other sayings that are common that give the similar idea of pride, such as haughtiness or vain. Or you'll see in the humility side, lowliness of mind, low regard. Similar idea, though different words are used. And one of the things that you and I really need to come to a conclusion on. If you haven't arrived here yet, I really want to encourage you to give this some serious thought. It probably is something that for most of us is not going to come overnight. But it is something that comes after lengthy deliberation. And it is the standalone line in the introduction. Pride is our mortal enemy. It is the enemy of all people, without exception. All of us are given to aspects of pride. And it comes up against us over and again, day after day after day. Our pride. And if pride is our mortal enemy, humility is our needed companion to come alongside of us and aid us. And I think it is seen in the text that we're studying tonight, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. Let's unlock that proverb then in the moments that we have together. Have you ever considered this? What is the greatest fear of the proud man? A little translation of this particular text is the one I've given to you. Comes pride, comes also shame. Where pride is, that's where shame is. So what is pride? Let's see if we can come up with a working definition of pride. So I'm going to give you 1 minute to come up with a working definition of pride. Now, to be a working definition, it's got to be brief. You can't have a paragraph. So I'm going to give you 1 minute to come up with it. Ready? Go. Gotta wait. Got 1 minute. No. Plenty of white space. Write it down on your sheet so you can say exactly what it is that you're thinking. A few seconds. All right, your time is up. Mike? Yourself above others, all right? So there's an idea. Who else? Shall we? An elevated self-esteem based in the thing that you value. Michelle? Thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to. Anybody else? Presumptuous elevation of self. Anybody else? Brenda? Okay, it's all about me. All right. Anybody else? Good. So all of you centered around the idea, obviously, of self, an elevated opinion of self. It's about me, those kinds of thoughts. The word pride here literally means boiling over. So where boiling over comes, boiling over about what? Boiling over about me, right? So maybe a good working definition is a boiling over of oneself thoughts. I am captivated by thoughts of me. That's pride. Well, what is shame? The text says, where pride comes, then comes shame. Let me show you a a reference where that word is used. Would you turn back in your Bible to Exodus? I think it's 25. No, it's not. Let me try 32. There you go. I had it backwards. 32:25. Thank you, Mike. And thank you, Lord, for computers. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate your thorough knowledge of Exodus. Exodus 32:25. The Bible says, "Now when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them to the shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, 'Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me.' All the sons of Levi gathered together," etc. All right. So Aaron has made a golden calf here, and Moses said that they are to the shame among their enemies. And what was it? What was it that was shameful? Yeah, just look in the verse. You don't even have to really be big in here. Just the verse will tell you what's their shamefulness. Their unrestrained activity. Their unrestrained activity, maybe their nakedness in this particular situation. Okay? So maybe you've been caught like that sometime. Maybe you were in that kind of situation. Just walked out the door. When we were visiting here, we were candidating or visiting, I don't remember which it was, and we brought Michael with us one time. He was 10, he was Jeffrey's age right now. And we were in the Detroit airport, because we didn't have a direct flight. We were in the Detroit airport, and we're sitting there waiting at the gate. And Michael said, "I have to go to the bathroom." So I pointed to him, restrooms are right over there, not that far away. He starts walking to the restrooms. I said to Brenda, "He's going to go in the ladies' restroom. Watch, he's going to go right in the ladies' restroom." I'm watching him. Sure enough, let him read the signs. Let him read the signs. And he walks, and he came out, and his face was, you could tell. What did I do? That happened to me, except I wasn't 10. We were out to dinner, my mom and her friend and all... Bye, Michael. We love you. My mom and her friend, all girls. My sister and I. So I'm the only boy. There are four girls from this other lady's family. My mom, my sister, and I. Our dads were fishing. So we go out to dinner. I need to use the restroom, so I went up to use the restroom. I was 15. All these girls I go to school with. Sitting next to us were also another table of family with girls at that other table. And I walked into the ladies' restroom at Red Lobster. These girls next to us were already in there. They saw me. They think it's pretty funny. I came back out. They're giggling. I'm all red-faced. Why are you red-faced? So, of course, I have to tell. The father of these girls that we were with is a craftsman. So he made me a sign and gave it to me on my 16th birthday. I still have it at my house in the garage. And it just says men on it, so that I would know which restroom to go in. All right, so shame. You get shame is when something happens to me that brings me down. Right? So the Israelites, they are ashamed to the other nations. They are brought down in front of the other nations. Now, question for you. The greatest fear of the proud man becomes his inescapable reality. What is the proud man's greatest fear? From the verse, what is his greatest fear? From Proverbs 11:2. What is the proud man's greatest fear? All right, his shame is his greatest fear. So let's think about that just a second. Let's think about situations where pride is on display and a person is fearful of being shamed. Okay? I'm watching a bunch of kids right now, and they are playing an Awana game. And those look like TNTers, so 4th, 5th, and 6th graders. And it looks like a co-ed game. And if you're a boy, what might be one of your greatest fears in that particular game? Getting beat by a girl. And so I'm watching out there, and some of our girls right now are a little more advanced than some of our boys, and a girl just won. I just saw it. A girl just won. And so the boy goes back to his little huddle of other guys, and what might happen there? You got beat by a girl, which is about the worst thing that could happen to you when you're in fifth grade, right? Get beat by a girl. So, there's an example of a situation where shame has the potential to come. And so, his pride kicks in. Right? And what might he do when his pride kicks in? All right, so, you know, now he hurt his leg. And he lied to protect his image. And that lying has now brought to him greater shame. Because now he has a shamedness before whom? Before God. Did he have a shamedness before God just because he lost the race in Awana TNT? No, but now he does. All right, so there's one illustration. I gave you one, now I'm going to give you a scenario and you give me another one. Let's pick a husband in a marriage. A guy in a marriage. Give me a situation where this guy, he's in a shameful situation and his pride reacts in the situation and it brings more shame. Right? A husband. Too hard? All right. Let's go with a parent. How about a parent with kids? Yeah, Chris? Okay. Okay. Okay, so he loses his job. And what is it that he's trying to protect? All right, he's trying to protect being a provider for the family. Now, has God given him a responsibility to provide for his family? Absolutely, God is. But he lost his job. And so now he comes home, and what happens? All right, so maybe he lies about it. And the situation now gets worse. Because in his failure to communicate to his wife, now all of a sudden she finds out that he lost his job. And her potential reaction is what to his concealing from her the situation? What's her potential reaction? She's hurt. What? Why is she hurt? But, pardon me? Okay. And, yeah, but, what, right, he lied to her and withheld information to her. What's hurtful to that? Why? What makes that hurtful to her? Because you didn't trust her. That's how she feels, right? You didn't trust me enough to tell me this. Or do you think that the only reason I love you is because of whatever. And so the very thing that he was trying to protect, his image before his wife, has now come down from that. How about a parent with kids? Do as I say, not as I do. What does that mean? You can do it up. So what's the proud thing? Where is the pride in the parent's part? Okay. So a parent says, I can watch this program on television, but you can't. Okay. So the pride is, what's the pride? I can handle it, you can't. Okay? So, that's the proud part. And where would the shame potentially come in there? Okay. Mom and Dad are big hypocrites. Yep. Good. Okay. Okay. So the very thing that Dad is trying to protect, which is, I have this image, he loses it. Okay. The point is this. What Proverbs is teaching us is that the greatest fear of a proud man becomes the inescapable reality. I am trying to protect myself from people, from shameful situations, because shame is always brought on by, in my mind, by other people, right? I'm not shamed by my dog, and I'm not shamed by my car. It's other people, right? I'm ashamed about other people. I can't believe she saw. How, you know of women who just will not go out of the house without makeup on, for fear that somebody will see me. Or maybe you've heard of people like that. Or men who always wear a ball cap because, well, I don't have any hair left, so I cover my head. That's the thing that happens. We're afraid of what people might think of us, and it's the inescapable reality. Comes fear, comes shame. So to unlock the proverb, apply the contrast to the second line. So let's think about that. In Proverbs chapter 11, where pride comes, shame comes too. So to unlock the proverb, where humility comes, then comes what? Wisdom. Okay, so let me think about this. How is it that I become humble? Unlock the proverb. This is a contrast. How is it that one displays his pride or feeds his pride? What is he constantly trying to do? Make sure that he's never what? Make sure that he's never shamed. Now, how does one gain humility? What is it that he's not concerned about? What? Pardon me? He is not concerned about being shamed. He recognizes that just like everybody else, I am a flawed, sinful person. This is what I am. And I'm not looking just simply to display my sinfulness. What I am looking to do is to be very open and honest. This is what I am. And by God's grace, I'm changing. And where that spirit is, that is wisdom on display. Does that make sense to you? The problem comes when we, you, I, when we are so fearful of the shame that comes from other people, that we cast ourselves as other than what we are, with the ultimate end being exactly the thing that we thought we were trying to prevent. So, on Friday, Brenda and I will celebrate 21 years of marriage. And we have a great marriage. We really, really do. But every now and then, we tangle about something. And it happened recently. And I confided in a brother in our congregation because I didn't know how to get out of it. And we don't fight. We don't ever. So this was a really big deal. And unfortunately, it was a multi-day thing. And I had had it. I couldn't live like that anymore. And so I called a brother in our church. I said, I need some help. Would you help me? Because I couldn't see the solution. I knew what was happening. And by God's grace, I knew that if I kept doing the same thing, that it wasn't going to get resolved. So I called this brother and I said, would you help me? I told him my side. He didn't even get to hear Brenda's side. I told him my side. And he said to me, which I already knew, he said to me, idiot, you are the problem. I said, I know. I know I'm the problem. Help me figure it out. And he did. And I was really thankful for that. Now, I never would tell you that now had that initial step not taken place. And you may not have seen the immediate effects of that had that not been dealt with, but you would at some point in time you would have. And you may not even have known what the problem was, but at some point it would have impacted you. And the very thing that I was trying to protect, my image as the guy with the greatest marriage in the whole world, is a thing that I lost. I wasn't able to protect. Does that make sense to you? So, what you and I have to do is work really, 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 really hard by God's grace to respond when we are in situations where I feel in my spirit this necessity to protect my image. And recognize that for what it is. It is pride. And respond with humility. What will that be? The wisdom that produces humility delivers greater wisdom still. Because the reality is to pursue humility is an action of the wise. Right? Right? A fool doesn't pursue humility. A fool pursues protection of his image. But a wise man pursues humility. To pursue humility is an action of the wise. And to these, this is the second part of the proverb, but with the humble is wisdom, comes wisdom. Where wisdom is, more wisdom follows. To these are given more facets of wisdom. So I want to think about this. How can I pursue humility? That needs to be my passion. Where can I go after that? How can that be on display? What part of my life am I trying to protect? I need to address that and pursue humility. Remembering a very important verse, that God resists the proud. But to the humble, He always delivers grace. And that's what I want. That's what you want. So learn the proverb. Learn the proverb. Reject the fleshly pursuit of protection of image. And instead, embrace the spiritual pursuit of humility. You pray for me. It's a lifelong pursuit. I will continue to pray for you. Like.